thank you so much for this day. We thank you for the sunshine. We thank you for the mums that you've blessed us with. And God, I pray a special blessing on each one of our mums this day. And God, we pray for the kids downstairs as well, that they'll have an awesome time with their teachers, that they'll learn more about you, your plan in their lives. And Lord, just that they would feel loved, welcomed, and accepted here at Community Bible Church. Amen. Okay, so a call to bless. I was supposed to preach last week, but because of a little COVID setback, the sermon very appropriately landed on Mother's Day, because when I think of blessing, I think of mothers a lot tied up with that, because they're such a blessing to us. So a couple of weeks ago, Pastor Doug started out a sermon series on the five missional habits as laid out in the book Surprise the World by Michael Frost. So there are five habits that we're going to be working on over these 5 weeks. And this is, you've got homework. We have to take this stuff home and apply it in our lives, okay? So today we're talking about bless, then there'll be eat. That sounds a good one to apply, doesn't it? Eating, we all like that. Listening, learning, and scent. So again, this is called five missional habits. Well, what does missional mean? It's not a word that we use every day. So what does missional mean? It means all that we do and say that alerts others to the reign of God. So we're going to be talking about things that go... Is that all right? Am I on now? Okay. So we're talking about our vertical relationship with God and how that impacts our lives. We're also going to be talking about developing habits that unite us together. So when we think of uniting together, if you think of us and our church working together in relationship that way as well. So that's in. Then out is what propels us into the lives of others outside in our community, people we work with, and I'm happy to have a few coworkers here today, shout out to them. And also just people that maybe we run into playing sports, or maybe our kids are on sports teams, people we run into there. So again, we want to develop habits that unite us together as believers, but also propel us into the world around us and the lives of others. So there are three ways to bless as laid out in this book, Surprise the World. By the way, how many people are reading this book? It's a great read, isn't it? It's an easy read. There are still a few copies left out there, but you're going to have to run and get them quick because they're going fast. But it is a great read. And so the three ways to bless. Number one, words of affirmation. You may have heard of a certain Gary Chapman who has written a book about the five love languages. Three of the ways to bless are actually in that book. So words of affirmation. I actually have a card here. For those of you who are sitting close enough, what birthday was this given to me on? 21st. How old do you think I am? More than 21, exactly. I am going to be 52 this year, but words of affirmation... This is just an example of what words of affirmation mean. When you get a card from somebody who didn't just say happy birthday, but he said nice things about me in this card. And here we are 30 some odd years later, and I have it. So I have a drawer at home. If I get a nice card from somebody who's, you know, says something that's complimentary or whatever, it goes in the drawer. When you're having a bad day, you pull it out and read it again. I also have, in my email file folder at the travel agency, I have an inbox that has a special label just for encouraging notes. Perhaps you can relate. Maybe you have a sock drawer that's got some notes in it, things like that. So words of affirmation mean a lot. They go a long way in encouraging us. Acts of service. The first story that came to mind when I was thinking about acts of service was relating to our life group. Now, a number of years ago, my wife, Wendy, her migraines were particularly bad, and there was a stretch of period of time, I think it was about 2 months, where kids were young, so, you know, craft dinner only goes for so long, right? And you get tired of that. So, anyways, young kids, I'm working, volunteering different areas as well. Wendy's at home raising the kids, and suffering from migraines at the same time. I don't know if any of you have suffered from migraines, but they're very debilitating. And what was absolutely incredible to me was people in our life group, every Thursday, someone would be bringing supper for us. They would send an email or a text or something like that, give us a call and say, hey, could we bring over supper tonight? So we were blessed tremendously by that. What the life group didn't realize was the day they were bringing the food was actually the worst day of the week for Wendy. So Thursdays, you know, you're getting the kids through school all week long. By Thursday, you're crashing and burning. So they were bringing supper on the day that was most important for us, that blessed us the most. So after this had been going on for a period of time, like we said in life group, like, is this like some coordinated effort? It's always a different person each week. It's never two people the same week. But, I mean, you guys are blessing us in an amazing way. So, like, who's coordinating this? They all look at each other with blank stares. No one was coordinating it, but it was always in the right time and the right place, and it was good food, too. So God had been laying it on people's hearts to bless us in this way of supplying food, and the people in our life group were obeying God's impression on their heart. And I tell you, that was... I think I need some water. A tremendous blessing for us as a family. So those of you who are still out here today who are part of that life group, a big thank you to you guys. And I know there are other people in the church who have done similar things. The third way of blessing, so first one is words of affirmation. The second one is acts of service. Third one is gifts, so gift giving. When I was, this is even farther back than the card, I would have been probably 10 or 12 years old. My grandfather gave me a few keepsakes. So this is a tape measure, no metric. Back in the day, it was all imperial. He gave me a pocket watch, and it doesn't tell time super well right now. It's about 1:25. I don't think I've gone that far over time yet. But a pocket watch, so it was a gift for me as well. He also gave me another gift. What do you think this is? It's a hammer. It's still wrapped up. Why is a gift still wrapped up? Stay awake and I'll tell you more about that later. So this week, your goal, your homework, is you are to bless three people this week, one of whom does not go to our church, one of whom does go to our church, and one of whom you can pick and choose as to whether you want to bless someone who's from our church or not from our church. And so these are the areas you can use to bless them in. So we're going to read Colossians 4, 2 to 6. So the first couple of passages we're going to work through today don't delve as much into the area of blessing. It's just kind of setting the stage for the background for blessing, the impetus for us to live out our faith. So devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too. So the us too, this is Paul, the Apostle Paul, who's writing this. So pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. And for those of you who picked up the sheets on the way in, we've got fill-in-the-blanks here for you. So the first part is about being devoted in prayer. And one thing I have noticed at CBC, Community Bible Church, over the past year, year and a half, is the increased presence of prayer in our congregation. We have men's prayer meetings, we have women's prayer meetings, and each Sunday before the service, we have people who come early. Imagine that, coming early to church. Oh, they come early in order to pray for God's blessing on this church. So the persistent asking of God to bless our church. I would encourage you this week, even today, to be praying for God to lead you to somebody, three somebodies this week whom you can bless. So ask for God's direction in that. I know one time in life group, we were going through a study, and it encouraged us to pray intentionally that God would lead you into a conversation with somebody that week. And it was incredible when he actually intentionally prayed that, how often there would be somebody that God would place on your path that you could share your faith with. So it talks in this passage, too, about the mystery of Christ. So what is the mystery of Christ? The mystery of Christ is the gospel message. Well, what's the gospel message, you ask? Well, the gospel message is basically talking about Jesus' virgin birth, his sinless life. He lived his 33 years on earth without sin. He died on a cross to take our sins for us, all our wrong things that we've thought, said, and done. And then he rose again victorious from the grave. So he conquered death in that. And then he rose up to heaven to be seated as God and King. And that is the gospel message all wrapped up in a few short sentences. So Paul asked for prayer that he would be able to proclaim the gospel in a clear way. So Paul was a Jew, right? He was a Pharisee, with one of the strictest sects of the Jewish religion. And when he was in the synagogue, he would talk to the people there based on Old Testament, but the history of Israel, things like that, and how those things all culminated in Jesus' birth, death, and resurrection. When he is in Athens, Greece, he would reason with the Greeks in a different way. Israelites, they thought more from their heart, I guess you could say. Greeks were more like head knowledge kind of thing, which I think our society is largely at today, a lot of head knowledge. So when he would be in Athens, Greece, or when he's in Rome, he would want to talk to the people about Jesus in a way that they would understand. And same with us. We need to drop our Christianese, our Christian lingo, when we're talking to people that have no idea what that means, right? So make sure that we communicate the gospel in a relevant way. We need to be wise in our relationships with people who are outside our faith. Social media is a big thing right now. And the things that we post on social media are the things we talk about when we're just with our group of friends. The people think of us as maybe grumpy gossipers or people who slander, talk down about people, or do they see grace and love in our lives in the way that we communicate? Are we able to communicate grace and love? So again, we just need to be gracious and bless others. We won't win people to Christ by winning an argument. When I get in an argument, my IQ, scientifically, they say your IQ drops about 15 points when you get in a heated debate with somebody. I can't afford those 15 points. Perhaps you can relate with that. So I got to try and stay out of the heated debate kind of thing. And a neat quote I saw here, too, is no matter how much sense the message makes, we lose our effectiveness if we are not courteous. Just like we like to be respected, we need to respect others if we want them to listen to what we have to say. There's a quote from the NIV Life Application Bible. So just some things to think of there. 1 Peter 3:13 to 16. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear the threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. So are we enthusiastic about doing good? Are we eager to do good? Is that when you wake up in the morning, are you like all fired up and ready to go do good? Or some days maybe we struggle, right? But what we are we characterized as people who are enthusiastic about doing good? If you are, who's going to hurt you for doing good? Yes, we will get people who say stuff about us because of, you know, there's jealousy, there's whatever. But ultimately, if you're all about doing good for other people, people will not seek to harm you. And if you are, talked down about or whatever, God will bless you through that. So when people ask, we should be living in a way that's different. So if the standard of the world is here for where you are expected to thrive, then we as Christians, we should be higher than that. Our standard is the Bible. It is not what people around us think. It's not just trying to be a little better than the person next to you. Our standard is the Bible, and that's a call. That's a high standard for us to be called to. So when you live differently than other people, and specifically when you live an intentional life, when people are going through a hard time and you seek to help them out, just be a listening ear or whatever, people realize that you are different, that you have a hope about you, something that is attractive to them. And when we have opportunities to talk about that hope within us, we need to be prepared for that. Where's our faith coming from? We need to be able to talk about that. Now, a few weeks back, we had some baptisms here. Was that not awesome or what? Do you love a baptism? Amen. And what is it that we love about baptism? Yeah, let's clap. Go ahead. Yeah, clap for baptisms. Get it out of your system. So what is it about baptisms that excites us? It's about seeing what God has done in someone's life and how God's work has transformed them. They're a new person now. They're not the person they used to be. And so Angie and Aiden and Shelby, they told us a bit of their story. Two of them were clearly adults and one a child. So God can transform your life as a child. He can transform your life as a 98-year-old person who's had a lot of life experience and a lot of stuff to wrestle through with God, right? But we all have a life story. And if you have asked Jesus into your heart, you have a Christ-centered life story. And so we have the opportunity to tell people who ask questions about our hope, about our faith, we can talk to them about the Bible, and we can also talk to them about how the Bible relates to our lives day in and day out, and how God works through us in different ways. And it doesn't have to be long. Like, those testimonies were only 2 or 3 minutes long, I think, maybe 4. So it doesn't have to be that you have to, you know, go through the entire Bible, thousands of pages with them, and all that. It can be short, it can be concise, and it can be impactful. I think, too, of 4 basic points about God and our relationship with Him. Number 1, God is holy. He has set an incredible standard for us. Number 2 is we are not holy. We don't live up to that standard. But number 3 point is God provided a solution, and that was Jesus Christ when He died for our sins on the cross. That was the solution. And the 4th point is that we need to accept that solution in our lives, to accept that we have sinned and that Jesus has taken the penalty for us. All right, so we need to keep our speech and conduct above reproach and above criticism. We need to be gentle. We need to be respectful. Live your life in such a way, and I want you to get this. Live your life in such a way that when people talk behind your back, and they will, may they only have good things to say. So let's think about that, unpack that a little bit. The way that we live, the things that we talk about, the way that we act, says something about who we are in our core, in our inside. And if the way that we act causes people to talk behind our backs because, you know, maybe you're a dirty soccer player. Tim's not. He's a good guy. But we did play against each other the other night. And Lucan did win, just for the record. We'll see you again later. But anyways, so the way you conduct yourself in the field of play, the way you conduct yourself in the office, do you take shortcuts in your work? Do you, you know, kind of fudge the statistics a bit? The way that you correspond with other people, do you cut people down? Do you slander them behind their back? Do you say nasty things in front of their face? All that stuff that we do comes from our heart, right? And if our heart is right with God, then people should really only have good things to say about us in reality. We have bad days. We all do. But if we live our lives consistently in a way that the Bible tells us to, people will have good things to say about us. But if we live in ways that are contrary to Scripture, people will call us hypocrites and all kinds of things, right? Because we're not living up to what we say we believe. So live your life in such a way that when people talk behind your back, may they only have good things to say. Okay, Hebrews 3:13. here's where we start getting into the encouragement aspect a bit. But encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. So how often are we to encourage one another? Every single day. How are we doing at that? Hey, how are we doing? Are we encouraging people every day? I'm a little guilty as charged right here, so I'm preaching. I'm in the front row here. I'm preaching to me too. So we need to be encouragers. Now, a little bit of context for where this verse lands in the Bible. So the context is a warning to the early church about sinful unbelief that leads us away from God. Again, we notice the frequency here that we should be affirming one another in our faith journey daily. It's an ongoing building up that keeps us moving forward. It's kind of like putting the gas in the tank, right? You're in the car. If people are keeping putting gas in the tank, you keep moving. But if you don't, eventually you run out of gas and you can burn out. Have you ever been having a bad day and then someone slips you a note of encouragement, maybe sends you an email or just, you know, says something to you when you're standing by the water cooler and it just fills you up, right? You remember how good that feels? The interesting thing about receiving a blessing like that, words of affirmation, is the giver of that affirmation also feels blessed, which is a kind of an incredible thought. When you're giving something to someone else, it's in a sense you're receiving something at the same time. Now, obviously, our motive isn't, I'm going to bless you so I feel good. My motive is for you to feel blessed, and in doing so, you yourself feel blessed. So we need to be thinking about words of encouragement that we can give to someone to build them up. Sin's deceitfulness, as it talks about here towards the end, it's a way that Satan lulls us into a state of spiritual lethargy. You know, kind of puts us to sleep, right? We believe the lie that God doesn't care or act, and we kind of give up hope. Have any of you guys ever been there? I have, and I can tell you it's not a fun place to be. It's a place where you just kind of get discouraged. It's like a dry, hot, barren desert. And I actually had a time, it would be a little over a year ago, where I was kind of going through a dry spell. You know what that's like? Where it's just like the zip isn't there. And so I was going through one of those stages. I was kind of discouraged, I guess. And I'm not going to look at her, but my daughter gave me a... a book called A Beautiful Design by Matt Chandler. So started reading through it a bit and watching some of the videos on that. And it was as if there was some new life again. You know how grass comes back in the spring? It's like new life, right? And it's good. I mean, we're going to have to cut the grass, but that's a bad analogy maybe. But anyways, it was the starting of an awakening. And so Jill and Isaac, they were in a youth group together a number of years ago. Oh, that's not that long ago. Let's not date ourselves too much here. But I helped out in youth group at that time. And there's a solid group of kids there. Now off to college, university, working world, that kind of thing. And we decided to get together over discourse because it was at a time when we couldn't meet physically. And we went through A Beautiful Design and then we liked that, and we continued on. Matt Chandler had another preaching series called The Greater Story. And we went through that, and again, it was encouraging. We encouraged one another. And I was leading the group in a sense. I was facilitating it. But I think I was probably the most blessed person out of it, to be honest. It just really awakened a faith in me again and got me excited. And then, you know, a little while later, Randy Kroll came up to me and asked if I would consider being an elder. And again, just we worked through some stuff together there, and that was an encouraging thing for me as well. So it was words of affirmation from Randy that encouraged me to keep going. And eventually got on the pastor search team. And again, that was an encouraging thing. And just one thing after another, words of affirmation that encouraged me and got me to a place where I'm standing here today in front of you guys and hopefully being a blessing to you through this time together. So now we'll come to the book series a little more on Surprise Your World. So we are to be encouragers. In this one, we have again three goals this week. We are to bless three people, one who is a member of our church, one who is not a member of our church, and one who is either a member or not. So what does the word bless mean? The Latin and Greek words for bless mean to speak well of or to praise. Another aspect is to add strength to one's arms, to build them up. So the three forms of blessing, again, are tied close to those five love languages by Gary Chapman. Words of affirmation, which can be an encouraging note, email, or text. Acts of kindness, it can be something to lighten someone's load. And a gift, it could be a grocery card for a struggling single mom, you know, to slip them a card, and what a blessing and encouragement that is for them. And it's Mother's Day today, so of course, something thoughtful for your mom. Think of words of affirmation. It requires putting yourself in the other person's shoes. So what might be a word of affirmation for me might be different than it is for Larry, or for Angela, or for you. So if I can understand a little bit more about who you are, then I can give words of affirmation that build you up where you're at. So as we're thinking of someone we want to affirm, think about that person, what it means to them to be affirmed. Give credit, give praise. Maybe come alongside and say, how can I help in an empathetic way? So earlier on, I talked about the up, the in, and the out. So what are some practical ways that we can apply words of affirmation in our lives, right? So when I think of up, word expression of words of affirmation is like what we had this morning, singing praise to God. So that's that vertical giving praise to God and affirming Him as our Lord and Savior. When I think of in, how do we bless people in our church? It could be we have some young families here that would just, you know, they're working hard, they're raising kids, they're in it every day. Maybe one of us coming alongside and say, hey, we'll babysit your kids next Tuesday night, whenever, work out a date, and let mom and dad go out and be husband and wife again. Remember what that's like? Do you remember what it's like to be a parent all day long, and every once in a while you get a chance to be a mom and, a husband and wife again? Let's give that kind of a gift as an act of kindness. We think of outward to our community. What is a way that we can affirm people in our community? Again, I draw a lot of analogies back to sports because I like sports. I've been involved in soccer in the community. But perhaps your kids in soccer, baseball, hockey, whatever, and you see a coach who isn't just teaching the game. They're teaching the game of life. They're teaching them don't cheat in order to win. Teaching them how to deal with situations that might come up within a team context so that you work in as a team, as teamwork there. And maybe there's a kid on the team who you know their family's going through a rough time, and you see the coach spending extra time with that kid. Affirm the coach in that. Let them know that, you know, you've seen that you're working with little Susie down at the end of the bench there, and you know, just spending that extra time building her up, and just let your coach know you've seen that. And there's lots of other ways that we can affirm people in our community as well. Acts of kindness. So our acts of service is another word for that. Do someone a solid and lighten their load. And the interesting thing, too, is if you're giving practical assistance to someone, it deepens your relationship with them. A context I think of this in is, say you see your neighbor out there and they're raking the lawn and they've got a big lawn, there's lots of leaves on there, and you've got maybe half an hour of free time. And you just take your wheelbarrow, take your rake and go over there and work alongside them. You're blessing them in that you're helping them with their work and they get done earlier, but you're also deepening your relationship with them. And when you deepen that relationship, that's where conversations spring out of, when you're blessing them and they want to know, like, why are you doing this? You've got your own leaves to rake or whatever, right? But you're coming and helping me, like, why? And then you can talk to them a bit about your life story. and the reason why you're doing that. So again, when it comes to acts of kindness, this is just hands-on stuff that's easy to do. When you think of, again, that up relationship, how do acts of kindness affect our relationship with God? Well, if we believe that God has created this world that we live in, and it's a beautiful world, and he's created all these animals and plants and the air we breathe, then we can be expressing thanks and kindness to God through taking care of his creation. I know, you know, like there's people that kind of go overboard when it comes to taking care of creation, and there are people who don't do enough, right? We need to be people who care about God's creation because it's an extension of who he is in supplying our needs, but also it's just a way of us to express our thanks to him. Again, another way of expressing through acts of kindness in an inward focus is, again, babysitting for one of our young families and that kind of thing, so they can have a date night. There are lots of ways that we can help people within our church in a practical way. And Larry and Angela have a great ministry centered around that called Helping Hands. Acts of kindness, when we think of out into the neighborhood, again, raking leaves for someone is a way to show kindness. Coaching, again, comes back to sports. Volunteering to coaching. I'm sure there are teams out there that need coaches, so being involved in people's lives in that way. We think of gifts, and I'm going to tie in here spiritual gifts as well. A gift expresses love, it shows that we care, and it gives value to the individual who receives it. Now, we need to be careful about the gifts we give. So, for instance, say I love cats. Big, furry cats are the best. But say I want to give a gift to someone who has fur allergies. Do you think I should give them a cat? It might not be received the same way it was intended to be given, right? So know the person that you are giving a gift to and understand what type of a gift would be a blessing to them. Because again, it's not about blessing us. It's about blessing the person who receives the gift. I have a quote here by Henri Nouwen. Our humanity comes to its fullest bloom in giving. We become beautiful people when we give whatever we can give. A smile, a handshake, a kiss. Be careful about that one, who you kiss, just saying. An embrace, a word of love, a present, a part of our life, or all of our life. So again, our humanity comes to its fullest bloom in giving. Now, giving, we often think of giving as in gifts, like I had mentioned about the tape measure and the watch from my grandfather. Those are keepsakes. They're important to me because of who gave them to me, even more so than what they are. So as if you think of someone that you might want to give like a physical gift like that to, be thinking about something that has a deep meaning to it. But another, so that's a type of present in a sense. We can also give the gift of presence, as in being present, being there with somebody in their time of need. Perhaps they've had a loved one who's passed away, and you can just be there with them. And you know what? Sometimes the best thing to do is just sit and listen. And that is a gift that you can give to them. Another aspect of gift giving is our spiritual gifts. So each one of us who is a Christ follower, has Jesus in our hearts, the Holy Spirit has given each one of us a gift. And that gift is to be used. We are to use those gifts in the context of the church here. So just as we've just had a team up here leading worship, those are people whose gift is in music. And they've been up here to help lead us in a time of worship together. And so anyone who's got gifts musically, I'm sure, Alyssa, you could use more people who are there, right, to help with leading worship. And we do understand from time to time we just need to take a break from stuff and that. But another area where spiritual gifts is important is in Sunday school. So we have lots of kids downstairs. We love our kids here at CBC, eh? Do you love our kids? You can clap again. Sure, go for it. And I think it's really cool how right now we've started inviting the kids back up with us for the first part of the service. It's good to have that full family feel, right? And to have everyone together here. And then they're invited to go downstairs to spend time with their teachers. So Sunday school is another area where, you know what, you might say, I don't know where my gifts are, but we'll come to that real soon. But Sunday school is an area where we definitely need more people who just love on kids. They may say, you know what, I've never taught a thing in my life, but I do like kids, and there's a place for you in Sunday school. And you know what, again, no matter who you are, if you are a believer, you have a gift, and our church is better for it if you exercise your gift here. So I'm a little handicapped right now because I'm holding a mic instead of using this one. So Malta, I might ask if you would come on up here to give me a little hand with this demonstration here. So as I mentioned earlier, I was given a gift. And the gift is? A hammer. Now, if I leave my gift all wrapped up, is it going to be much use to me? Not really. So we're talking about spiritual gifts. And just as this gift is very self-evident, we know it's a hammer even though we haven't unwrapped it yet. In the same way, you as a Christian have a gift. It will be evident to people around you what that gift is. Even if you don't know it yourself, you may say, I'm good at nothing. I can't teach. I can't do this. I can't do that. But the people around you will know what your gift is. If you've never taught Sunday school in your life, but you're drawn to kids, there's a gift there. And I get Malta to unwrap the gift here. And the second aspect of this is, oh, go ahead, it's Christmas. So he's unwrapping his gift. He's willing to use his gift. Now, Malta also helped me earlier. So this was going to be a team thing. So Malta cut some wood here for me, got me a couple of nails. He sanded it all down. He used his gifts to bring it to this point. Then at this point, we're going to finish our task. And I was going to do the hammering, but I'll let you. He'll use my gift this time, if that makes sense. So we've got some pre-drilled holes there, yep. So this is Malta and I working together. Go ahead, you got this. So we are working together. And again, we think in the context of the church, of us working together, using our gifts, right? And that's awesome. Good stuff, thank you. So put your gift into action. Okay? Now, what we've just built is a cross. And this is something really cool, I think, right? It's a cross. So it's representative of Christ's death for our salvation. But what I also want us to think about is, again, we've been talking about the up, the in, and the out, right? I'm not sure if this is going to stand here. But when we think of the cross, let's think of our upward relationship with God being this the vertical board here. So our relationship with God is built on love. First, Christ loved us, and then we reciprocate that love, back and forth, back and forth. And Jesus came to earth, he came as fully God and fully man. So a unique situation, right, where he was both God up here, man down here, and everything in between. Very unique, and it had to be that way in order for his death, burial, and resurrection to have any impact. If he wasn't God, there would be no saving power there. If he was only a man, he would have died and not raised again, so he needed to be God as well. When we think of the horizontal plane, let's think about this as our relationship between people. So people within the church and people out into the community. So when I think of blessing people through words of affirmation, through acts of kindness, and through gift giving, we do that within the context of the cross, which is kind of a cool concept. So we're giving praise up to God, and we're building into the lives of people around us within the church and within our community. So when we think about giving, we often think of financial gifts, right? And I think, too, of when we think again of the upward relationship, in this case, it's upward and both horizontal. A number of weeks back, we as a congregation, people sacrificially gave of their finances for the people in the Ukraine. And it was so that people from Poland, churches in Poland, could invite in Ukrainian refugees and at the same time deliver bedding, medicines, and foods into the Ukraine, into a war-torn country, to deliver hope, to bless the people of the Ukraine. And our church raised over $18,000 of gifts for our brothers and sisters in Christ in the Ukraine and in Poland. And so that is a way that we offered up to God our gifts. We gave our gifts within the context of God's greater church, not just Community Bible Church, but our churches in Poland and in the Ukraine. And when we do stuff like that, it represents out into the community that we are a generous people who love and want to bless the people around us. So this week's goal, one word of caution too. When we are blessing people around us, we need to make sure that we are not treating them as projects. Nothing turns someone off quicker than to think that you're treating them as a project. We need to bless people to show the character of God with no sense of personal gain. And the second caution in relation to that is it's the recipient who should feel blessed, not me. It should not be a manipulated, oh, come to church and I'll give you a gift card kind of thing. No, you just give them the gift card. And then you invite them to church, but that's up to them. So application. So how does this apply to us? Because if we can't apply God's word to our lives, then does it have much impact? Not really, right? So this has to impact us where we're at today. So again, we are blessed by God in order to be a blessing. So bless three people this week, one in our church, one not in our church, and one that can be either. Bless them with words of affirmation, acts of kindness, and gifts. And don't forget, this is Mother's Day. You got a great in right here. Give them a gift. It can be words of affirmation, acts of kindness, or an actual physical gift. And just a reminder, too, that on your way out, moms, you get a gift. So by blessing others, we are living out the two greatest commandments. Again, we'll revert back to the cross here. The two greatest commandments are to love God, again, thinking of that vertical relationship. And the second greatest commandment is to love people, love others, whether it be in our church or outside of our church. Regardless, we are to love God, love people. Those are the two commandments. Again, the whole Old Testament wraps up, and in fact, really, the whole Bible gets wrapped up into loving God and loving people. And it's also an aspect of fulfilling the Great Commission, which is to disciple believers. Make disciples of Jesus Christ. So looking up again, our motive is our love for God. That is why we want to bless people. Our motive is our love for God. And for the in, just appreciating how God has blessed us as a church, blessed me as an individual, and then let that flow out to our church as well and be a blessing to our congregation. And then also that overflows and blesses into our community. So coming back to this, my grandfather gave me a tape measure. Tape measures are handy, right? Every carpenter's going to have a tape measure. You use it for measuring wood. You can use it for measuring drywall. A lot of practical uses for a tape measure. And God gave us the Bible. And in a very real sense, this is our tape measure of the Christian faith. This is how we measure our lives. Are we living a life that pleases God or not? Is directly derived from what the Bible has to say about how we're living and how we should be living. Are we measuring up to God's standard? My grandfather also gave me a watch. Watches are handy for telling time. And Peter Luscombe, I think you carry one of these, don't you? Excellent. So these are handy. They are handy for telling time. It helps us to get places at an appropriate time and all that. But when I think of time, I think that God has blessed each one of us with time. We're alive here today because God has blessed us with time. How are we using our time? How are we using our talents, our gifts? So be thinking this week about how you're using your time. It's easy to get sucked up into, you know, binge watching something on Netflix or whatever, and we lose time, right? It's like a gap out of our lives. But how are we using your time that honors God? My grandfather gave me a hammer. It is also one of the handiest tools in a toolbox. I use it for putting nails in. You use it for pulling nails that didn't go in quite right, and stuff like that. So hammers are a very useful thing. With Jesus, though, so I can take a hammer and I can put nails in wood. Jesus, he took those nails when he died on the cross. My nails held Jesus to the cross. And not just my nails, yours as well. The sin in my life was taken care of by Jesus on the cross. So when I think of a hammer, I think of how terrible it is to put nails into flesh and into bone. And that's what, in a sense, my hammer of my life has done to Jesus. All of our lives have done that. And Jesus, he knew when he was coming to earth, his purpose was to take those nails, that he was to die for our sin. He was to die for our wrongdoings when we were still enemies of his. We didn't like him. We put him on the cross. He took those nails willingly so that we could have life. So how are we going to use our time? How are we going to use our talents? How are we going to use our words of affirmation in light of the cross? How will I invest my life, the life that God has given me, and how will I bless our church? And how will I bless our community? Thank you.